Hello and welcome to The Word in Me. This is your host, Vanessa Morris. This program is presented by the Emerald Rose Center San Diego. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you on today. We thank you, Lord, for our health, our life, our strength. We thank you, Lord, for our healthy children. We thank you, Lord, that you have watched over us and protected us all these years, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just want to say thank you this morning for our family, our friends, those that love us. We just say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to continue in John chapter 3, but we're going to cruise on down to verse 13, and we're going to read 13 through 15, and it says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, in verse 13, Jesus is announcing his deity to Nicodemus. He is saying, no man has ascended up to heaven, no man has come down from heaven, even the Son of Man that is in heaven. So he's saying, I'm talking to you, excuse me, I'm talking to you, but at the same time, I am also in heaven. So he is explaining his Godhead here, the deity that he is God, as well as Jesus standing there, the Son of Man being the Son of God. So let's also go to verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, Jesus is telling of his crucifixion. There was also a crucifixion reference with the resurrection also in chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, when Jesus says, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." Now, he was talking about the crucifixion there and the resurrection. Now, in verse 14 also, Jesus is referencing Moses lifting up a serpent in the wilderness. This reference comes from the book of Numbers. Numbers 21, verse 8 through 9. Let's go there for a moment and read that. Numbers 21, verse 8 through 9, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now, this was a time when they were going through the wilderness. The children of Israel were complaining. They didn't want the fresh manna from heaven anymore. They wanted food. They wanted water. They were getting frustrated and tired. And so they began to murmur and complain about God and complain about Moses. And the Lord sent fiery serpents and began to bite the people, and people were dying. And so Moses had prayed to God, and God had him make a fiery serpent, made a brass serpent to lift up in front of the people so they would be healed. Now, this brass serpent is called a Nehushtan in the Hebrew language. Now, this Nehushtan is where we believe to get our symbol for medicine, that brass rod that you see with the serpent coiled around it. Now, ironically, there are also other Greek religion and Greek religious symbols that are similar to the Nehushtan. In Greek mythology is what I was looking for, that word. Now, one is called the rod of Asclepius, and the other is called Caduceus, which is the symbol of Hermes, a Greek god, a Greek Olympic god, the son of Zeus. So those other two things also have the same resemblance as the Nehushtan. Now, the Nehushtan you can find in the book of 2 Kings 18, chapter 18, verse 4. And this is where King Hezekiah took the brass serpent down that Moses had made along with other idols because the people began to burn incense to it. They were starting to worship the symbol. So let's go back to John chapter 3, verse 14. Now, in that chapter, it says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He must be crucified to bring about healing, the healing of the world. Jesus had to die as a sacrifice for our sins. We discussed the three different temples a few days ago in Israel, those three temples that were in Israel's history and the content of those temples. And sin was a requirement. Blood sacrifice was a requirement for sin. In the Old Testament books, there were animal sacrifices. In the New Testament, Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be saved. Now, some may be thinking, now why would we need a blood sacrifice? Why is that required? Now, as we talked a little bit about in weeks past, life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And sin, the penalty for sin is death. Sin has a penalty. So some may think, well, that's harsh. You know, that's hard. People have to die for sin. Well, someone had to die because God is a holy God. He is sacred. He is divine. He is a righteous God. And in a sense, humanity needed a sort of complete blood transfusion to purge out the disease of sin. And that was Jesus. He died for our sins. Now, verse 15 in John chapter 3, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is what I love, is that believing on Jesus, we have eternal life. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be saved. And that's that whosoever. That's everyone, because we are saved by grace through faith. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3. And everybody can come to God and be saved. That's the drunkard, the prostitute, the liar, the fornicator, the adulteress, the thief, the con artist. Also the teacher, the doctor, the president, the dictator, the businessman. Everyone can come to God and be saved from a lifestyle of practicing sin. Now, even Christians, we Christians sin, but we are not practicing sin if we're true Christians. There's things come up. We do things and we're like, oh man, we shouldn't have done that. Man, I didn't mean to do that. I'm trying to do. Even Paul said, you know, evil is always present. Every time I look to do good, evil is always before me. There's a battle going on in the flesh between good and evil. Our flesh is not saved. Our spirit is saved, but our flesh is not saved. So we battle that flesh. But whosoever believe can come to God, come to Jesus, and be saved. Be saved from a practicing life of sin. So, that's the question. We talked yesterday about decisions. What's the decision? We're not living a perfect life over here. We are striving to become to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have not arrived yet. But what are you going to do? Are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to follow the way of sin, the way of death, the way of the world? I'm going to stop right there. May you be blessed. Have a wonderful weekend. We will talk again on Monday. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.